We have to defend ourselves. We intend to defend ourselves. We've did so in the past, and we're going to do it today and the day after that and the day after that. Because only through this proper example of the self-defense and the proper example of retaliation, and by letting these people know that we move from some basic laws, that anything that goes down on the oppressed people, on the part of the oppressor, it should be reciprocal. And in plain proletarian workers' language, it takes two to tango. As soon as these motherfuckers go, we go.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where the news comes slower than watching porn on 56K. I'm your host, the Stimulator, and the motherfucking Greek resistance made good on its promise and rioted on the anniversary of the death of Alexandros Grigoropoulos, a 15-year-old member of the motherfucking resistance who was shot dead by a cowardly pig. Anarchists held the city of Athens in a state of siege for over 24 hours, hurling Molotov cocktails at the cops and successfully occupying Athens Polytechnic.
This fire is out of control.
In Honduras, the motherfucking pigs unleashed on anyone advocating the boycott of what some are calling sham elections. The pro-coup candidate Porfirio Lobo supposedly won the election, but less than 50% of the population participated. Here's anti-election activist Fausto Arizolo Rodolfo, who was detained for passing out anti-election posters.
We just want the water to be ours, the land to be ours, the minerals to be ours.
The man your mama calls Obama supported this Honduran spectacle of democracy and followed up his magic trick by taking a shit on all the peace-loving suckers who voted for him.
And as Commander-in-Chief, I have determined that it is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan.
The war is not meant to be won. It is meant to be continuous.
Yep, Operation Bomb All Motherfucking Afghanis is in full effect. Just as Obama picks up his Nobel Peace Prize trophy in Oslo. Meanwhile, troublemakers worldwide have been disrupting the flows of carbon by doing actions in solidarity with the upcoming rebellions in Copenhagen. In Vancouver, activists disrupted a construction site for the mega highway project known as the Gateway to Hell. In California, over 30 peeps were arrested after they blockaded the headquarters of those gas holes at Chevron. And in the UK, over 40,000 Londoners took to the street to protest against the corporate-friendly solutions to climate change that will be touted at the COP15 climate conference in Copenhagen. The Copenhagen clusterfuck could be the match that ignites the worldwide rebellion. But dumb motherfuckers in the US still want to debate whether or not man-made climate change is real. Maybe they'll start fighting back when their houses are underwater. Like these folks in Bangladesh, whose village is now submerged. But who gives a fuck about brown people in Asia, right? After all, we can still drive our Hummers to Mickey D's, fill our bellies with greasy burgers, and look like fat fucking cows. Last but not least, this month marked the 40th anniversary of the lynching of Fred Hampton. Hampton was a promising member of the Black Panther Party who was lynched in cold blood by the motherfucking FBI.
So we say, we always say to the Black Panther Party that they can do the thing they want to us. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary.
El FBI se ha metido en un lío, están jodidos, se jodió la Casa Blanca. Ahora voy a explotar con estilo, en el nombre de Filiberto Ojeda Río. Me tumbaron el pulmón derecho, pero todavía respiro. Me voy a los tiros, pero todavía respiro. A los federales con piedra les tiro, y si no hay piedra pues les tiro con guiro. Con lo que sea, tumbaron al hombre pero no a la idea. A todos los federales los escupo con diarrea. Me dan náusea, me dan asco, yo sé que estoy perdiendo los cascos. Por culpa de ustedes, jodió bruto, la calle 3 está de luto.
Con calma, compi, hay que ser astuto.
Cállate, pitos federales, gandules y guardias estatales que no hicieron nada, con las manos cruzadas se quedaron mamándose un bicho. Un cabrón gobierno que permite esto. Chorro de puerco, son todos unos insectos. Y por eso protesto, protesto por una masacre en Ponce, protesto por un Cerro Maravilla y hasta por un Septiembre 11.
Do it. lucha, lucha como lucha libre, por la libre, viva Puerto Rico libre. Hay mucho tiburón en el Caribe, 100 por 35 es el calibre. Lucha, lucha como lucha libre, por la libre, viva Puerto Rico libre. Hay mucho tiburón en el Caribe, 100 por 35 es el calibre.
Earlier this month, Earth Defender Trey Arrow was released from his halfway cage and into the so-called free world after 6.5 years in the slammer.
It's very important to be mindful that the agents of repression have not changed and not gone away, and they're still following the same MO of, you know, targeting individuals or groups that they view as subversive and doing what they can to disrupt, to neutralize, to disintegrate what they view as a threat.
Yep. Trey was snitched on by the same dude who snitched on Jeffrey Lures, who gets out later this month. Both face harsh penalties for their alleged crimes and were labeled terrorists by the feds in a roundup of eco-activists known as the Green Scare. With the stakes being so high, it is amazing to see folks still working to stop the destruction of the planet, even with faced with harsh prison terms. While folks will be battling out on the streets of Copenhagen this weekend, there are folks deep in the woods defending some of the last redwood forests in the world. Last week, I had the honor of meeting some of these courageous forest defenders somewhere in Northern California. This is Farmer from Humboldt Earth Forest explaining what the fuck is going on.
So now we're on the northern end of the unit. They want to clear cut everything you can see here. And this grove is surrounded by clear cuts and suburbia. And it's pretty stark. It's an 80-year-old grove. It's one of the oldest groves that's left out here.
After bushwhacking through the thick rainforest, we came to the area these brave folks are defending. I climbed up a 130-foot second-growth redwood called Artemis to what these folks call a tree sit. Basically, these guardians of the forest eat, fish, and sleep way the fuck up there. After an hour of climbing, I finally made it up to the tree sit where I met Jacques. Hey, Jacques, how the fuck are you?
Pretty good.
How long have you been on this tree sit?
I've been here since like the beginning of the occupation, December like 1st last year.
Why do you occupy this tree?
Right here where we're at, like you can't see it right now, but there's houses right over there, like just a couple tree ridges away. And that's like, this is the forest right here. So this is kind of like where Babylon ends and the forest begins. It's like the last front. These trees are, some of them are old growth and some of them have right on the verge of becoming old growth, and top of all the like habitat and everything, like, you know, like lines gotta be drawn. It's like, this is the line. This is right across that hill is Babylon, and they want to expand it to right where we're sitting. They want to put a shopping mall right here with this big ass tree we're in is. And I kind of block, you know.
So is your life on the line?
Yeah, my life is on the line, absolutely. Yeah, December 2nd last year, we dropped the banner making this public, and the sheriff came by, Green Diamond employees came by, told me and another tree sitter that we were trespassing. If we came down right now, we wouldn't be arrested. Well, we said no, we were here to defend the banner. Green Diamond's response was to send a climber up the next morning to cut the banner down, a line from tree to tree with a 15 by 30 foot banner hanging from it. Before the news cameras got there, I was sleeping on a hammock in the middle of the traversal, not the middle, the branch part. And so if he would have cut it, I would have fell.
Later, we were met by Gambit, one of the craziest monkey climbers I've ever met. Hey, Gambit, how the fuck are you?
Pretty fucking good. How about you?
Well, I'm scared delicious. What do you think? I'm standing on a branch about 130 feet up in the air. So why are you here?
We're here because we want to take space where we can talk about stuff freely and draw and sing and cook and tie ropes, tie trees together and do what we want to do. We're here to save these trees in particular that we're occupying from the wrath of the Timber Corporation, which has not logged yet this year in the McKay Tract, after having logged the McKay Tract every year for the past 6 or 7 years.
Capitalist pigs are in Copenhagen this week to set up a trading scheme to commodify carbon. Wouldn't having more trees be a better idea?
These trees are storing a lot of carbon themselves. The forest floor actually is full of ferns and several feet of duff, all of which is storing a huge amount of carbon. This area was logged about 120 years ago, and the ancient trees that stood here then were cut down. But like I said, it's the place where redwood trees grow the fastest of any other area on Earth. So it's pretty much soaking up carbon from the atmosphere, and also doing other things like helping out with the methane cycle, recycling and absorbing other greenhouse gases. It's doing that better than any other place in the Redwood region, and we're defending, you know, one of the most ancient groves in the McKay Tract.
The mother of the resistance is in Copenhagen right now. Do you want to send them a shout out?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I would want to tell the kids in Copenhagen, things that they already know how to do already. Build barricades, light things on fire on the edges of your territory, big fires, and, you know, destroy as much corporate property as you possibly can. And, you know, if you get a chance to do anything really awesome, you know, definitely go for it.
Thanks, Gambit.
The ice caps are melting. Ho, 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 ho. All the world is drowning. Ho, 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 ho.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to a special edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where repenting climate deniers are welcome, no questions asked. I am your host, The Stimulator, and as thousands of protesters headed to Copenhagen for the COP15 climate summit, stupid mother of capitalist deniers were headed there too.
I'm the Truth Squad going over from the United States to make sure that there's no one predicating any kind of a decision on any kind of a follow-up agreement that's predicated on the assumption that America is going to do something, because we're not.
Ain't that the truth? The U.S. ain't going to do a goddamn thing. That's why the motherfucking resistance was there, to call out all the motherfuckers that want to get rich as the planet burns. On Friday, troublemakers crashed a press conference hosted by those climate deniers from Americans for Prosperity. This was just a prelude for the record-breaking crowds that marched on the streets of Copenhagen on Saturday. Over 100,000 people flooded the streets with signs that read, blah, 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 act now, and there is no planet B. Indigenous people whose land is being destroyed by the mother of the tar sands joined the march to demand the shutdown of what some are calling the most destructive project on the planet. Here's a nice white lady commenting on what she hopes comes from the protest.
I think that all the good vibrations from the people here gathered must reach the people inside the building. I think it must.
I want some of whatever she's smoking. The only vibrations that were felt were the pig vibrations. The name of this climate clusterfuck should have been COP1500. A shitload of pigs descended on a group of protesters that were peacefully marching and arrested over 1,000. Here's independent journalist Adelaide commenting on the arrests.
At a point in the march, the police appeared to be ready to charge a certain section of the march indiscriminately. And did that.
On Sunday, hundreds headed towards the Copenhagen harbor for the Hit the Production action, where activists were attempting to blockade port operations. Well, the cops preempted the action before the protesters even got close. Here's a legal observer commenting on the police action.
This was a peaceful demonstration. It was completely unprovoked response from the police, but they still deemed it necessary to split it up in a forceful manner. And so it's becoming clear to us now that your right to protest in this country is almost non-existent.
We're living right now in a police state. It's a police state, a police state. Stand up, fight back before it's too late.
We could have saved ourselves, but we didn't. It's amazing. What state of mind were we in to face extinction and simply shrug it off?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where flotation devices are located under your seat. I am your host, The Stimulator, and a groundbreaking climate deal was reached in Copenhagen that will lower carbon emissions below 1990 levels. Here's our Carbomander-in-Chief, Barack Obama.
Today we've made meaningful and unprecedented, made a meaningful and unprecedented breakthrough here in Copenhagen. For the first time in history, all major economies have come together to accept their responsibility to take action.
Yep, the climate deal is a farce. A non-legally binding agreement between the US, China, Brazil, India, and South Africa that relies on trust. Here's 350.org's Bill McKibben.
These countries have, in a sense, disrobed themselves and said, we are the countries that matter. We're not interested really in what the rest of the world says or thinks. And for the US, that's a wonderful victory because it lays aside forever the idea that it owes any historical debt to the rest of the planet for the carbon that it's put in the atmosphere over the years.
Well, duh. Anyone who was naive enough to think that anything positive was going to come out of Copenhagen was smoking from my roommate's magic pipe. What came out of the climate summit was a death sentence for Africa.
It's a solution based on values, the same very values, in our opinion, that tunneled 6 million people in Europe into furnaces.
Obama has blood on his hands, and he's sending his ancestors to a slow, painful death akin to the Holocaust.
Until now, they're seeing like 2-3 seasons of the rain patterns. They have failed. And that's now even why it has gone to an extent of the Wassonyro River drying without actually, not like the unlike the other times when it used to flow the whole year.
The piece of shit deal signed by the U.S. would allow for the Earth to warm by 2 degrees Celsius, which would be about 3.75 degrees higher for Africans, who are already feeling the effects of
man-made climate change
in the form of severe droughts. In Australia, the mother of resistance is trying to avert a different potential catastrophe, uranium mining for nuclear power. Protesters demanded that BHP Billiton, the world's largest mining company, to stop their expansion of their mine in Roxby Downs. Here's Aboriginal activist Sam Watson.
Aboriginal people have never ceded sovereignty. We have never surrendered one inch of our sacred soils to the British colonial government, and we still stand on our land, and we defend our land, and we do not give permission for our land, for our country, to be torn apart, and the poisons, like this yellow cake, to be extracted from those sacred lands.
In the U.S., the fight to reclaim stolen native land continues. In South Dakota, Crow Creek Tribal Chairman Brandon Sasu took a stand against the United States' theft of Dakota land. The young chief occupied Dakota land, seized and sold by those hateful motherfuckers from the IRS.
They sold our land for $2.6 million. Auctioned it off like it was a car or something like that. They didn't care how many people live here. You know, the land was appraised by one appraiser for $4.6 million because of the wind energy potential. You know, what's going to happen to our economic development now? 20% of our land base is gone.
In Vancouver, Olympic resistance activist Marla Wren was detained and interrogated for 6 hours at the U.S. border because she was going to speak about the negative effects of the
Defy Conference of Death
in Portland.
When I arrived at the American border, I was picked out of the line before I reached my turn to step up to the wicket. And I was questioned specifically about what I was going to be doing in Portland, and then questioned quite extensively about who I knew there and the purposes of why I was going to be there.
But that didn't stop the motherfucking resistance from disrupting Hitler's torch in Toronto.
We're opposing the Olympics because they're taking place on unceded indigenous territories. They're happening at the expense of poor people and indigenous people who are being kicked out of the city while public money is going to fund these games. I got game like
like I read the directions. I'm wishing that I had an automobile as I feel the cold wind rush past. But let me state that I'm a hustler for real, so you know I got the stolen bus pass. Just as the bus pulls up and I step to the rhythm, so lady look like she drank a 40 or 50. I see my old school partner say his brother got popped. Pay my respects, can you ring the bell? We came to my stop. The street light reflects off the urine on the ground, which reflects off the hamburger sign that turns round, which reflects off the chrome of the BMW, which reflects off the fact that I'm broke. Now what the hell is new? I need new. I spot the mark, walking in the tweed suit. I'm in his butt quicker than a kick from a grease boot. Eased up slow and discreet. Could tell he was suspicious by the way he slid his feet. Didn't want to muck up the come up, so I smiled with my eyes, said, hey, how's it hanging? I bumped into his shoulder, but he passed with no reaction. Damn, this punk trick had hella Andrew Jackson's. Steps echo in the darkness, my teeth clenched tight like a fist in the cold sharp mist. I look down and I hear my stomach growling. Step to Burger King to attack it like a Shaolin. I never pay for things that I could get by doing dirt. Linger to the girl cashier and start to flirt. All up in her face and her breath was like murder. Damn the things I do for a free hamburger.
What, you got my number? You gonna call me tonight?
It depends, it's them burgers attached to a price. I'm just kidding, I'ma call, even write you love letters. Thanks for the burgers, hook me up with a Dr. Pepper.
That's cool, you want some ice?
Yeah, and some fries would be hella nice.
Damn, my manager is coming to pay off, okay? Have a nice day.
I'm about to hit anyway. Like a million bucks, I'll be the flyest motherfucker in the Afro in a tux. My arm is at a right angle up, silver tray in my hand. May I interest you in some caviar, ma'am? My eye shoots round the room, there and here, noticing the diamonds in the chandelier. Background, Barry Manilow, Copacabana, and a strong damn scent of stogies from Havana. What no place where a brother might been. Snobby old ladies drinking champagne with rich white men. Alright then, let's begin this. Nights like this is good for business. 5 minutes in the mix, notice several different clicks. Talking, giggling, a script, and one big baller in betwixt. And everybody else jacking him, throttling. Found out later he on Coca-Cola bottling. Talking to a black man, who's he confused? Me looking hella bougie. Booty all tight and sedity. Recognize him as the mayor of my city, who treats young black men like Frank Nitty. Mr. Coke said to Mr. Mayor, you know we got a process like Ice-T's hair. We put up the funds for your election campaign. And waiter, can you bring the champagne? Our real estate firm says opportunities arousing to make some condos out of low-income housing immediately. We need some media heat to say that gangs run the street and then we bring in the police fleet. Harass and beat everybody till they look inebriated. When we buy the land, these black folks gonna appreciate it. Don't worry about the urban league of Jesse Jackson. My man that owns Marlboro donated a fat sum. That's when I step back some to contemplate what you know. Sat down, wrestle with my thoughts like a sumo. Ain't no one player that could beat this lunacy. Ain't no hustler on the street could do a whole community. This is how deep it can get. It reads macaroni on my birth certificate. Puttin' Tang is my middle name, but I can't hang. I'm getting hustled, only knowing half the gang.
Last Wednesday, climate activists attempted to enter the Bella Center in Copenhagen, where world rulers were deciding the fate of the planet. The activists were brutalized by the pigs, and there was no indication that their screams had any effect on the outcome of the COP15 conference. But while this media circus was going on, Jeffrey Lewis was getting out of jail. Lewis was locked up for torching three gas-guzzling SUVs in 2000. Here's Free explaining why he did it.
Overall, the majority of pollution that comes from the United States comes from passenger trucks and vehicles. I mean, we have almost 250 million of them. When you take SUVs into consideration as being the number one polluter in that vehicle class, well, those are my reasons right there.
What Jeff did not only brought attention to the problem of carbon emissions from SUVs, but attacked the problem at the source.
I don't have a voice. I can talk and talk and talk and write as many letters. I've even met with some of the Congress people here in town. Nothing I have done has accomplished any change.
When the climate talks in Copenhagen failed to deliver anything serious, many people, including me, were not surprised. Why? Because the biosphere does not fit within the capitalist context. In order to save the environment, capitalism and the state must cease to exist. This includes socialism and any other man-made artifice that hyper-exploits nature. If we want to stop runaway climate change, we need to stop carbon emissions. If we want to stop carbon emissions, we need to stop coal mining, coal-fired power plants, SUV factories and dealerships. We need to stop
the motherfucking tar sands.
We need to stop lumber industry. All of those things I just mentioned are part of the capitalist economy, and that is why you cannot hope that Obama will exact the change that we need. Why? Because he's a fucking capitalist. Patron-ass ambassador George Monbiot, who repeatedly bashes anarchism and who fully endorses state as a partner in saving the planet, is throwing in the towel. Monbiot wrote in his blog this week,
"Goodbye, Africa. Goodbye, South Asia. Goodbye, glaciers and the sea ice, coral reefs and the rainforest. It was nice knowing you. Not that we really cared. The governments which moved so swiftly to save the banks have bickered and filibustered while the biosphere burns."
With all due respect, Monbiot, go fuck yourself. This is no time to act like crybabies. Just because your plan to put pressure on the state failed miserably doesn't mean that all is lost. We also need to wake up to the fact that protests, banner drops, and pranks serve a purpose but can only go so far. For all of you who are falling into despair, now you must change your tactics and bypass the state completely. Find out where the carbon is flowing in your community and stop it. There's not a lot of time left, y'all. So stop fucking around and get to work. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World As We Know It and I Feel Fine. The following slaves opted not to shop this Christmas and funneled their money to make radical TV shows. Martin, Hervé, Dan, Noah, Amber, Zachary, Christopher, Tristan, James, Vincent, Sean, Joni, David, Paul, Alexander, Christopher, John, Tristan, and Patricia. Frigoberti. I also want to let you all know that this coming Sunday, December the 26th, I'll be in Portland for a special radiothon put together by the folks from Bottom Up Radio Network. For details on this special event, or links to tips on the apocalypse, or to come in on this show, just visit my website, stimulator.tv. See you next year, suckers.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
In biblical terms, it looks like we're being offered 30 pieces of silver to betray our people and our future.